Welcome back to the Capes and Tights podcast right here on capesandtights.com. I'm your host, Justin Soderbergh. This episode is once again brought to you by our friends over at Galactic Comics and Collectibles at galacticcomicsandcollectibles.com. We see the return of Alex Cormack and Anthony Cleveland to the podcast, who previously joined us on separate episodes. Now we get a two-for-one as they talk about their upcoming comic book coming out April 19th at Mad Cave Studios, Buried Long, Long Ago. Cleveland is a comic book writer behind the comic books like Charred Remains, The Show's End, and so much more. Cormack illustrated books such as Breath of Shadows, The Devil Wears My Face, and more. They come together on this project they've worked a long time on to put out, and it's coming out now from Mad Cave Studios. But before you listen, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, all those places. You can subscribe, rate, review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. You can also find so much more stuff over at capesandtights.com. But this is Alex Cormack and Anthony Cleveland discussing Buried Long, Long Ago, coming out from Mad Cave Studios. Enjoy, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast, gentlemen. How are you two today?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
Good, good. I use that term lightly, loosely, right, gentlemen?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're here to talk comics and stuff. I mean, you took as mentioned right before we recorded here is that you both have been on at separate times, but now we get to have a two for one here on the podcast to chat comics and so on and so forth. So, but yeah, you guys have a new comic coming out with Mad Cave Studios coming out here. It's called Buried Long, Long Ago, which frustrates me in the SEO of the internet. It sucks because putting the comma in the middle of your title. Now it becomes not one keyword, but two keywords. So I just want to let you guys know that for future reference.
Mm-hmm. <Damn
it. laughs> but it's a phenomenal book. It's a, historical fiction horror. I'm so pumped to talk about. Where did this come from? Let's jump right in. I mean, does anybody want to come and speak of how this even got started?
Yeah. It's based off of Belle Gunness, which is a local story to where I'm from, Northwest Indiana. Serial killer from the 1900s who put ads in newspapers for men to come to her farm, bring all their cash with them. And when they showed up, she would take the cash, kill them, and bury them in the hog pit. So the story I learned early on, because it's like if you grew up in Northwest Indiana, especially in like that far out area, away from Chicago more so, you know that story. Mm-hmm. You get taken to field trips to the museum where they had the exhibit. You could see the artifacts, the newspaper clippings. God, they have a skull there that they found, bricks from the house. It's a very visceral exhibit. And when you see it young, like I did, it sticks with you. And you, when you have a way overactive imagination, it really sticks with you. So yeah, this one's been around in my head for a long time, or at least some versions of it before we got to there. Yeah, yeah.
And Alex, how did Alex, if you want to speak on this, how did you become on this project at Mad Cave?
How did I get on this project?
Yeah.
So Anthony wrote me out of the blue, we hadn't met or anything. And he's just like, hey, listen, Rota Bones, I had this idea for a story. Like, basically, what do you think? And this is like a good maybe five, almost 6 years ago now.
Mm.
And, but yeah, I thought it was like, oh, this could be really interesting. This could be it's a horror story that got me going right away. And it's just how he was enthusiastic about it, how it was like a passion project for him. I was like, yeah, I'm on board. This is anything like that. Like, yeah, let me just jump in. And so we put together like a pitch kit where we did like the first like four or five pages, something like that. And it was like the scene's kind of been, it's kind of in the second issue. It's kind of been mushed around a little bit. Mm. But yeah, then we did that and we kicked it around some. And Anthony, you've talked more about how it landed on Mad Cave than I can.
Yeah, it was, it was like 5 years pitch gauntlet hell. Because it was a lot of very much like, 3, 4, 5 meetings with one publisher, getting close to the green light. And then, can you change it to this? So it was like, okay, yeah, we can make it into a graphic novel. So, we reworked the whole thing pretty much. It was just a crazy amount of loops we had to jump through. And like, we got ghosted. publishers went kaput, like completely kaput, and then just like, we'll get back to you in a year, and they get back to us in a year, and it's we're not going anywhere. And then like, I don't know why we didn't initially go. I think just because we're just so damn burnt out and from other publishers that we've just realized Mad Cave's right in front of us, and we both do work with Mad Cave all the time. And yeah, they jumped right into it, so it was awesome to have them just not just with it, but with the freedom that all you know Mad Cave always gives with their creators. And so it's the best home I could think of probably for this book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're celebrating 10 years in what 2024, and so that's pretty cool that we're now into their 11th year doing this comic book thing and having this book come out. I mean, horror stories. I'm a big fan of horror stories. Obviously, you two are a big fan of horror stories. But like, the cool thing I thought was the fact that this is a historical fiction book. It's not just a fun horror story to tell about. It's like actually based around some facts that were, spoken over the years. Was it more difficult or easier to do to when it's based around some sort of factual, at least statements?
I think it took a while for this one to actually get its form to where it's at now. And it's like I was just saying, a fairy tale version of a true crime story. So that's a hard, like, tightrope to walk, I guess. So we're very cautious what to include, what not to include. I mean, the story is over 120 years old, but it was still a lot of the victims were always in our thoughts, what to show, what's appropriate, what's not to show, what to exclude. So yeah, yes and no, but I mean, like, I think just having it for so long has kind of made it a lot more clear, and like it came together well in the end, for sure.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see where, like, if you were able to go from initial inception of the idea to publication super quickly, you might have almost regrets of things that you might have done differently because of how quickly it went. But because of the 5 years, it sucks to go 5 years before something's actually published. But in the same sense, you were actually able to think about it over the last 5 years and change what you needed to change and make it more of a cohesive thing.
There's always going to be times with a project where it's like, man, I wish I included that. Like, if we had more page space and stuff, and they're like, there's a dog in the true story. I'm like, man, if we could have put a dog in there, we probably could have sold an extra, 1,000 issues.
As long as the dog survives, you're probably
Right.
fine. The other side of
Right.
that coin is
No, they will never pick it up.
yeah, I was
No.
gonna say
They won't
that
die
dog's
for
a
free.
goner. He's a
It's
goner.
just. I was like, oh, it sounded really creepy, but I want to kill a dog on a page. No,
No,
just
I
kidding.
mean, yeah, the poor pup.
Yeah,
But
poor puppy. Yeah, exactly.
that's all right, I got cats, they'll be fine.
It's just funny. I was thinking about it when I was reading this. I was like, I had never heard of this. Was it Bella Gunness? Is that her name? Yeah, I never heard of her like full on until honestly recently when I was into this kick on following like trying to read about like Ed Gein and all these other serial killers, mass serial killers of the United States and really try to see like the body counts and things like that. Just I was watching a documentary and then they're making this new. A show for is it I forget which channel it's on, but they're making that new show that's like the real life drama again thing, and it's funny because I went through like Wikipedia like top serial killers of the United States and saw these names on there, and it's kind of funny. I think I stumbled across this name just because I was doing research outside of this comic book and to stumble upon a character, and then I'm like, holy crap! Like not that long ago, I was looking into this on Wikipedia. Now I'm getting to read a comic book based on that character. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this one's going back to body counts. It was when they found the bodies, it was just such a mess. They couldn't really make a correct tally. So it's like, you depending on which, just reaccounting you're reading about, it's either 14, sometimes it goes up to 40. But the bones were just such a mess, and altogether at that time, the coroner just totally lost count. Very, very gnarly story. And like another thing too, we didn't get to go into the comic book as well, is like after they did find the bodies, it became a tourist like location. So those crimes, that crime scene was totally trampled. So, and people would come in and force themselves in to look at the remains and the barn and stuff. It was a circus. There's no way you can keep track of, what the final total was at the end. And
It's insanity because I feel like nowadays I feel like some people think we're crazy to think about true crime stuff. There's like articles about like if you're obsessed with true crime, there's something wrong with you kind of thing. To the fact that where someone's like that into it, being like, I want to go look at the actual house with the bodies in it, and that much of a true crime fan is it would be pretty
Oh,
crazy.
certainly. I mean, I think there's always been that morbid fascination that humanity has that most can't seem to shake. And it's like, I know sometimes I see some people how they react with like murder billion and things like that. Mm. And I think we're actually better than we were in comparison to 100 years ago. Thank God. But yeah, it's
Alex, was it different for you drawing? I mean, this is based, like I said, this is a fairy tale version of the original story, but this is obviously based on some factual information here. Was that different for you? I mean, I know a lot of your stories are complete fiction.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, because basically everything up to now, it was just kind of made up. Mm-hmm. There was some stuff in like Sync, which John had from his childhood, but they were just kind of like rumors and that type of thing. Like there was no like real things going around like that. So the fact that this was like actual people that I would be drawing, that these were real people, they had friends, mm-hmm. they had all this type of stuff. So basically what I did was Anthony had sent these had this big folder and he sent it to me with photos of the real people, the real handwriting, like the real newspaper clippings, real remains, all this stuff. But what I went ahead with it was I looked at that, I drew from it, but basically the final comic was each character I kind of made up what they looked like. Mm. Just to kind of separate it from the real story. I said this before, but Belle in this one, like her hair wasn't big like that. I gave her my fifth grade teacher's haircut. I didn't like her. So I was like, oh, I'll stick her to her. But, but it was just like little things like that, you know, because I just didn't want to be insulting to the real people, you know?
Yeah.
I figured this is at least kind of a way to step a step to the left or a step to the right. Of opposed to like taking photos, like tracing on their faces and putting them in these situations, because a lot of the stuff that we do yeah. know happen, some of the stuff it's kind of like the fairy tale aspect of it, like yeah. that's kind of you get what I'm saying,
yeah.
But it was different than everything I've ever done before, and there's a specific scene trying to be as respectful as I could on that one. And but that comes in later. You'll see that in issue 3 or 4.
I mean, it's difficult, but I would think that you guys always say made it if some sort of like generations later, someone who was involved, or parents or grandparents or whatever, I guess, were involved, that's actually read this comic, which actually be pretty crazy in my opinion. But and if they came to you and were like, "What the hell did you do to my family?"
Yeah, like, right. phone calls being like, "What the hell did you do? Like, my nose doesn't look like that."
I have pictures of my grandmother. She didn't look like that. I don't know what you're talking about. But I mean, in the end, though, you're telling a fictionalized story of this. So in the end, this is a comic book. This is not you're not like taking in translating actual facts into this comic book. So you have some freedoms that you're saying in the end, this is a fairy tale version of this. And so take that, we're trying to take the basis of the story and make it into something that's more, I say, fun, but more entertainment than actual history
lesson.
There's
a lot of truth in it. It's just, yeah, like you said, it's a comic book version. It's based on, it's because a lot of the stuff did happen, but
it's the true story with some different characters, and it's a very monstrous element added to it, I guess. That's about
it's more true than most adaptions are. Like,
I'm gonna be honest with that. Yeah, yeah. Any other like serial killer? Like, this is based on a true story, and you watch it and it's like, no, not close at all. It's like a Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer or something like
that. Yeah, right. Or you go back to Ed Gein and you mix in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Psycho.
Right.
If you shuffle them, you get something on the guy.
Right. Yeah, that's the funny that if you think about it, like when you go back to someone's like, oh, this movie, like Silence of the Lambs, based on this, and then like, and you watch it, and you're like, I watched a documentary on Ed Gein, and I'm like, I don't know, it's like, okay, he like wore a face probably at one point, and that's about the only connection I'm getting from this at this point. Like, okay, I guess it was based on idea of this character, then spun off into this entire fictional story. But okay, I understand where you're coming from on that. So obviously you had this, Anthony, you had this story. Obviously it's from right around where you grew up in that area of the country and so on. Did you still have to do a ton of research? I'm guessing this is not like something you just like some person talked to you about and you're like, cool, I'm gonna write a comic book about this. I'm guessing you had to do some research on this.
Yeah, there was a ton. I mean, I was went back to the museum, went through their archives, read the newspaper clippings. I read every single book that came out about her, including like the weird pulp novels that had like a bunch of made, because there's just a lot of it's an unsolved, it's more or less an unsolved crime because Belle got away, supposedly faked her death. So there's a lot of room for the imagination, which is probably my excuse as well too, why we came to this version of the story. But I mean, like back then it was, they didn't really know who Belle was, so they made up stories about her being with a traveling circus and would chop up her doll's arms and things like that. Just all kinds of like probably more out there than very long ago. So like, yeah, I mean, even that stuff I read, and it's just interesting to see what the imagination can do with like a crime that's completely unsolved like this, and it's like it's been going on for since the story came out.
Yeah, I mean, I've just recently another Mad Cave comic book that's coming out, The Slasher's Apprentice, where it's a podcaster on it, and I just saw that I was reading online that the true crime podcast, My Favorite Murder, did an episode on Belle Gunness, and so I'm guessing you listened to that one.
I haven't. No,
Oh, you haven't?
I will. I'm getting bailed out a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
It's that thing where you like don't do the your passion or your hobby as a career because you might get too much, you might, take over too much of your time and not fall out of love with it. Is this the whole like, you fall out of love with
Yeah,
the story?
there's that, and it's like you there's it's just a bit, the story's been told so many times, so you hear inaccuracies and you're like, no, because they say like a lot of stuff has been lost and confused and like Wikipedia-fied, I guess,
Yes,
about the
yes.
case. So yeah, it's I still do. I mean, like I listen to the last podcast version of it because that
Yes,
was pretty damn funny. I think they did a great job on it, and that came out, I think, after Harold Schechter's book came out, and that's the best telling of the Belle Gunness story. That does everything, including the DNA testing they try to do on the body, and just like I try to tell the story like straight too as well. And I think with his at the end of his book, he just talks about how there is no truth to this story, and I'm sorry, pretty much, and like that's what it is. I mean, it's a 120-year-old case that's just probably never going to be solved. I don't know. Maybe it'll be solved like the solve like the Jack the Ripper thing that just came out. I don't know.
Maybe your comic book will bring more attention to this case.
It'd be great.
You,
It'd be great.
some FBI guy's like, oh yeah, I was reading this comic book from Mad Cave and it made me think I should really look into this further.
mean, yeah, I mean, things could happen. I mean, you could find similar patterns from other, criminals in history and to see if Bell was, keeping their hobby going.
Well, the fascination to me was, again, so the horror genre of comic books is one of my favorite genre, and I say horror comic books in anything is honestly horror is my favorite genre, and so like I read a lot of horror comic books, and there are some that cross over that are like, okay, that's just another version of the same comic book and so on and so forth, but like this is the kind of thing that really caught my eye. Obviously you two as a creative team on it caught my eye because I do like your previous work, so there is that too, but like, and I'm a big fan of Mad Cave, so there's that too, but like it set it apart from other stuff in my opinion, like having that historical fiction aspect of it made it so that I was like, oh, this is gonna be a little different, and the fact that she was not only just a prolific serial killer, but she's like the United States like most prolific female serial killer, and that was a big part to me. It's like you don't get to see that very often in fictional stories or in factual stories about actual it being a female serial killer.
Yeah, horror does have a lack of female villains for sure. It's always been like that. I feel like if they do have one, it's typically an archetype you've seen before or something like that. And no, we haven't really had anything quite like Belle, I suppose. You've got what is it? What's the Stephen King one with Kathy Bates?
Oh,
Misery?
Misery, yeah.
Is Dorothy something?
Misery.
Misery.
Misery, yeah.
Yeah, I
That
guess
was like
that's the
a classic.
closest we got I can think of.
Yeah.
But that's
But
even that's pretty far from
yeah.
it.
But I mean, it's the cool thing to me was the fact that not only did you just do a write a comic book based around a female serial killer, but it's also like, okay, this is cool. We're gonna bring this character into comics, but it's based on a true story of a female serial killer. So this is not me going, oh, we need a female serial killer. It's like, no, this is real life. We actually had this person who killed a bunch of people. So it makes, like I said, it makes it more, there's more depth to the comic book, in my opinion, because I get to enjoy this story, but also I do find myself right after finishing the first issue being like going like, oh, I want to learn more about this person and understand who this person is. And then part of me is going to kick myself if I learn more and now I know more going into the second issue and now it takes some suspense out of it. Is that going to happen to me or is that going to, do I feel like I'm still going to get something out of the second issue?
No, I say anyone go for it. They're two different stories.
Okay.
They really are. The only character that they really, you know, share is Belle.
Okay.
Belle and her crimes. I don't think that's consistent throughout and matches the true story. Above that, the characters are different. You know, people that passed, you know, with her, totally different. So,
okay,
yeah, I think it's fair game for anyone to check it out.
Check it out. I won't get overbelled though. I mean, if I do this, I don't know. I wouldn't take too much time to read all this other stuff.
I think because they're separate enough, you'll be okay if they were. Okay. Yeah.
Even if you do buy the issues, anyways, because
Of course you're gonna buy the issues. They're phenomenal. I mean, like I said, it's gonna be great. buy all the variant covers, all that stuff.
Oh yeah, all variants, everything.
And you need a reader copy and a collection copy. You need two copies. You need reader copy collection. And then you need to trade afterwards.
CGC.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's exactly. We actually talked about that at the comic book store the other day. Someone was like, oh, I already got two copies of that, but I think I need a third one. Can I buy that copy behind you? We're like, why do you need a third copy? And it's like, well, one's in pretty rough shape and the other one's graded, so I need it in my long box. I need to create the collection, so I need another copy to go in the long box. And I was like, wow, man, that sounds like a tough life right there. If you have to buy all the versions of it, so that, well, one's on the wall, so I gotta make sure one's on the box. Hey, if it's a current comic book, I mean, all the power to them, because they buy more copies for you guys, but from you guys,
as long as
yeah, exactly, as long as it's this one. No, but it means 5 years of making, like you mentioned. And it's finally coming out. Are you excited for people to learn about Belle and these stories and for them to read your story and see your artwork, you guys?
Yeah. It's like I said, it's just been a gauntlet. So very curious to see how people are going to react to it. Very excited to see how they're going to react to it. But yeah, like I feel like a lot of comics kind of go through this long hustle. And it's just like, I think people are more excited to see the book than actually hear about the hustle, he seems like. But yeah, it was one of the roughest journeys I think I've been on. And, you know, grateful for Alex for sticking with me on that, because it was rough.
Well, it's like, we don't see about it. Like I hear about it when Mad Cave or Don't Hide PR does a lot of their stuff. Doesn't just, hey, by the way, this is coming out, you know, from these two creators. And like, cool. I hear about it like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Whereas like, obviously you guys have known about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I'm like, I've been waiting 3 months for it, 2 months for it. You guys are like waiting for a long time for it. So yeah, but I do think that there's something to say about that. Listening to people talk about their journey to this location, this spot in this publishing journey is that, you know, you work so hard to get there. Sometimes it might entice people to go, yeah, I was thinking about it, but you know what? They worked really hard for it, so maybe I'll grab an issue. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, true.
Anybody who's like, kicking around a book right now. And
yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like, all right. I got said no. Well, like I said, no, I just keep working on it. Keep kicking around. And, you know, geez, yeah. I mean, it takes a while, but it's, you know, you can get it done. And it's kind of hell yeah, it was 5 years and it's awesome. And we did it, you know? And so there, meh.
Yeah. Right?
We said 5 years too. I mean, like, so Alex and Anthony, Pager's been done for a while, or are they just been the initial story? So like, you've actually
the book's been done. Last page, I think last colored page, right. Was New Year's Eve.
Yep. You know, that's exactly.
Like the day before New Year's Eve or New Year's Eve itself.
Was so the last issue was color
issue five, last page. I remember just trying to get it inside of like, I think the last cover was, it got kicked into January, but no, the book's done. It's been done for a little bit, and I mean, yeah, I can't wait for people to see this. I think it's I said this before, all the stuff that I've done, this is the heaviest book I've ever drawn.
Yeah. I was gonna say that, like, you've drawn some pretty epic stuff and
Yeah, but this one
some
is,
pretty gruesome kills, and there's some scenes in this thing where you use a lot of there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of gruesome and grotesque things, but not over top, not over the top, but just, if you're a fan of horror, you're gonna like this, in my opinion. And if
But
you're a fan
yeah.
of Alex's, I mean, this fits your artwork style. I will say I am a big fan of just the look of issue two's cover. Cover
Well,
A. I like issue one's cover A too, but I'm just saying, like, issue two's cover A was something about it. I don't know. It drew me in. It's pretty cool looking as well. But yeah, I mean, does this make either one of you want to do another historical fiction comic book, or is this like one of those things where now you're like, I want to live completely
Oh,
in the
sure.
fiction?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anytime I get done with the book, it's like, okay, I won't do one of those again. And then just yesterday, I'm like, oh, this would be a really cool serial killer comic, a true crime comic, but it's like, it's different. You don't want to do the same thing twice. I don't want to
No.
tell another, something like this. I don't want to combine fairy tale and true crime again. I probably will, though, subconsciously, because I'm just so used to doing it for 5 years.
Well, this, to me, I'm like, there is some, there's a space for that almost. I feel like there would be like a whole series of comics that are based around even just serial killers that are real serial killers that happen. And I would read an Ed Gein comic book. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, there is one. Who else is it?
Yeah, I got
You
it
have
on
it.
my shelf over here.
You have it right there. Yeah,
Yeah,
there
right. Hey, good to see you at the camera.
it is. Have you heard
That's a
about it?
professional. That's how you do it.
Yeah,
Right here.
this one. Yeah.
Yeah,
They're sending me a check in the mail for promoting this book on your
I
podcast.
better. Yeah.
No, there is these kind of things, but I feel like there is. I feel like there's a space for that. I do think that this fits that space, and I think that someone who has this book might actually put your trade on a shelf next to it or something like that, because it will be one of those. There's a whole place for true crime right now, and I think that this fits that true crime horror. But also, if you do not give a crap about the actual historical accuracy of this comic book, it's still an enjoyable comic book, in my opinion. At least issue one is. I could go down the uphill from there. I haven't got issue two yet, so
Great.
I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. This is not. No, I think, and I think that you guys laid the foundation for what we're going to expect, in my opinion. I said I don't know what issue two, three, and four, and five are going to be, but I feel like you laid enough foundation for me to actually get, entrenched and learn about Bella and get to the point where I want to be to that next. I'm ready for issue two. You know what I mean?
I think issue one is probably the calmest of the bunch. That's
Jeez.
like the wimpiest one, because especially the my favorite is the end of the next one, which I'm not gonna give it away, but how Anthony wrote it was just like a three knockout punches right in a row, and I was like, oh, I'm psyched to be drawn. This is great. But no, it's wait till you get into it. It's
Wait,
gonna.
get into it? Okay, we're ready for it. Something I just thought about, we were talking about a second ago about it being done. Is this different for you guys? Like, I feel like most of the time when I'm talking to someone, issue one, I
Oh yeah.
know it's typically different. We're like, oh, we just finished issue the halfway through issue three or something like that, and you haven't done that. So are you? I'm sure you're happy it's done and completed, but like in the same sense, are you now it's even longer of a wait for issue five to come out? Like, what's the experience like being done
Well,
with that
last time I
issue?
talked to you, I think I was like in the middle of drawing
Oh,
whatever we were
really?
talking about. So I was like, "What's your?" I'm like, "All right, see you." And then I turned over and just got right back to work on it.
I mean, is
So
it different? Is it a different experience now? Like,
it's more relaxing. kind of like, all right, it's done, it's in the can, so it's done. At least for my side,
I'm sure Mad Cave likes it. Right? I mean, sure, Mad Cave can be like, okay, these are when the issues are coming out. Unless we have a printer error, we're pretty good to go. Right? I mean, I'm sure if I was a publisher, I'd be happy with a whole series being done when it goes to publication. But which
It was
I
more
know the
their
world
idea.
doesn't work that way, and I know I understand you guys work very hard, when I see comic books take forever because of deadlines being missed, or say the big two, they had to switch the artist out in the middle
Oh,
because they're taking
it
too
drives you
long.
nuts, right?
It drives me nuts because of the fact that I'm used to some artwork or so on and so forth. So I've always been like, why don't they just do five issues and then release the first issue? I know it's financials and all this stuff. This is me hoping and wishing into the world that things would change a little bit, but it's never going to. And I understand there's budgets and I understand all that. But I just one of those things where I'm always like, why are we waiting 3 months between issues when we could just like release it, get a couple issues in the bag, and then release the first issue and go from there. But that's
Sure,
just me
sure.
griping here. It's me griping on the internet for this, You know, it's something that's, you guys did it right, is what I'm trying to say. No. So do you think that this is similar, different, anything like to what you guys have done before, both of you, in that sense? Obviously, like I said, this is historical fiction, but like those fans of Alex Cormack and the fans of Anthony Cleveland, are those same fans going to translate into this comic book, in your opinion?
Oh yeah, on both of us for sure. Yeah, it's, I think people are pretty used to Alex doing the historical side of things. I think I only have like, Charred Remains is probably the only horror book. Yeah. I mean, like full horror. I mean, Stargazer has creepies and Show's End has creepies, but like I've been talking about horror comics for a long time. I think this is the first time I actually got to really make something scary, or at least try to make something as scary as possible. And it's my first creator own also. Everything else was Mad Cave's IP. Mm-hmm. So this is my first time on my own in the wild with writing it.
And Alex, do you think the same way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, as far as historical stuff, I mean, I've already done a bunch of, most of my stuff is that. So, yeah, it fits right in there. And, yeah, no. So, if you like my stuff already, that you'll love this. And,
I love it.
Yeah, like I said, it's the heaviest thing I've ever done. So, it's going to, you thought that other stuff was like tough, then yeah, get ready.
Get ready for more. Exactly. Yeah.
Just because there's a bunch of little girls on the cover, it's going to.
Looks like a nice little family on the cover. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's a cute little family. Like if you zoom right in on the family, I guess Bella looks like she's gonna murder. She looks like she's gonna murder someone. Let's be honest.
You had to take a family photo like that. You know, it can get really stressful.
That's what I look like that sometimes when my kids are in a picture. Sure. You know, like it's you know. I might murder someone. You know, it's the truth, and I think that it's funny how that you portray it. That picture does look like the kids look very calm and nice, and they look a little worried, but they don't look overly worried. I mean, it looks like Belle's has an axe behind her, right? I mean, as that look to it for sure.
Is that cover your idea, Anthony, or did I come up with that?
I think that was all a combination. I think every cover has been like a combination. Just a bunch of ideas thrown together.
Well, I think the second cover was mostly you, right? You're like, we're doing the outhouse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it times it's like I flip through and see like what's the most compelling. Yeah, or shocking. Like,
what's our scene in the book? And
let's go to it.
I was trying to remember that first one because it's been a while ago now. But yeah, I don't know how that got cooked up, but
You're gonna keep harping on the fact that it's been a while. We understand it's been a while. It sucks. It's been a while. I don't remember. It's been a while. I can't get to this thing right now. Obviously, you're promoting this. It comes out April 19th at your local comic shops. Obviously, you want people to pick it up. You know, flock to your comic book shop and get this. I always like to say, if they don't have it for some odd, crazy reason, maybe they bought 500 copies and they sold them all already. It's to let them know still, because obviously. Hopefully you can get a reorder in or if a second printing happens or in like that, there's something involved in that. So you just don't walk into their shop and be like, oh, they don't have it, and then leave. Like, tell someone. Yeah, and like I said, preferably tell them ahead of time so they can plan for one and hold you one. That's my old thing. This is going to come out after FOC, but it doesn't mean that on the day the comic book comes out that the local comic book shop might put one aside for you or you know, that kind of a thing, you know, pull boxes and things like that. But yeah, we want to make sure people get it. So you've been working on this for a while, and now it's coming out April 19th from Mad Cave Studios. Does this mean you guys are working on other projects right now at this time? Does that give you freedom to now work on the next thing? Obviously, sometimes you can't talk about them, but I'm guessing you guys are both hopefully busy.
Yeah. I think Alex is way more busy than I am right now, but yeah.
No, Alex is always busy. I got a couple of things going on, or a few things going on right now.
Nice.
Trying to think of what I can talk about.
No, you're fine if you can't.
I there's two things I can't talk about. There's gonna be more sync, so that's good.
That's cool.
There's a Kickstarter book working on called Family Matters right now, which is like a wearable story, which is gonna be a lot of fun. And he's got stuff going on. You got it, right? So
yeah. Unless you're gonna start working at McDonald's, then yeah, it's probably you have to have right, some yeah, things going on. It's a whole thing. You guys doing any conventions and things like that on anything up coming up, or are you just staying home?
C2E2 for me. I have a panel and I'll be there on the Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be at the old school comic show, Little Giant comic show.
Yeah.
This weekend, and it's oh golly, where is it?
New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's in New Hampshire. It's Concord. Yeah.
I will not be there. I wish I could be there, but I will not be there. My buddy Paul, who owns Galactic Comics and Collectibles, will be there hanging out, saying hi, and he'll come say hi to you. Yeah, and so we're that's exciting. What's funny is I'm buying my house. I'm closing my house in May. I put a convention on in Maine that happens May 31st. May 31st, and I have to delay my moving because of it. So I was like, why don't you just move the last weekend of May? I'm like, I can't. I got a comic book convention to put on. I can't be doing this right now. But I was at Little Giants. Wasn't last year, but the year before that. And that's a lot. It's a insanely big convention for a small area. If that makes any sense. Like, it's a lot going on.
Oh yeah, it's honestly, it may not sound like, but it's one of my favorite shows to do. Yeah. I love doing it. And it's always seeing old buddies and everything, and it's such a good crowd. Yeah, I always have a blast there.
Is Donny Cates still coming?
As
far as I know, he's coming, which is kind of a cool thing to see him out and about.
I'll be there, so yeah, whatever.
I was just to see him out and about now after he's had a pretty tough couple of years to see him coming. Yeah. It'd be kind of cool to be there. But I've always been impressed with that show because the fact that, like, it's a big ice arena kind of place, like a local ice arena place. And it's like 2/3 full of comic books, like physical long boxes and short boxes of comic books. This is something you don't actually see that often nowadays at comic book conventions. It's more, the stars and things like that, and toys and figurines.
But yeah,
I was so impressed by the number of actual bagged and boarded comic books that were actually in Little Giants show, which is pretty cool. And then the number of artists and creators you guys see there is awesome too. And the big names, but also all the people that are just like, trying to make a living too, which is pretty cool. And I like all the in-between is really awesome. But C2E2 obviously is becoming a very big. A big show has
the opposite. Yeah, it's been a big show. You guys are talking. I'm just like, man, I'm so jealous right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there's something for both. Is I do feel like there is this. There's a place for all these conventions. My show that I put on in Maine is one day. It's 6 to 8 hours. It's very small. 300 or 400 people come. It's not insane, but it's something for the area that we can help, get comic book fans together, and then the next size up from that is something like Little Giants. And then it goes from there. And there's a place for all of it. I think there's a spot for all of it. So, which is pretty cool. You're going to be in front of more faces probably, Anthony, than Alex will be, but in the same sense, maybe you'll actually talk to the same number of people, which will be crazy if you think about it.
Right. Yeah, our panel numbers, I was surprised. I went to one, I think it was last year, and just have a full hall. I was just did not expect that.
Did you get nervous?
No, I think I did three panels that day. Okay. The first one for sure. And then the second one was like loosened. And then the third one, like, I don't let's go. Don't care. Yeah. But the third one was like a horror panel. So it was like, I was totally in, my comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 I got called by my buddy Jay and Will, who own Pine State Convention or Pine State Expo, which used to be called Maine Comic and Toy Con. There's Bangor Comic and Toy Con here in Maine. They called me. They're like, "Hey, we have comic book panels that happen on Saturday, and we don't really know a lot about comics. They're all like, they actually book a lot of the celebrities." And he called me. He's like, "Do you want to run those panels?" I'm like, "Ah, cool. I was hoping to come down and just hang out. I didn't mean I was actually going to work the whole weekend. Whatever. But yeah, it would be fun to do that. So panels are fun. I think that the comic book panels are even more fun because I feel like you learn a lot, and people learn about what you guys do and how you guys make these comics is pretty cool. So. I like the fact that you both just mentioned one show that you're going to, which is great. You weren't like, "Oh yeah, for the next 17 weekends, we're not gonna be home." Because I know people like that for sure. Sweet. April 19th is when Buried Long Ago hits shelves everywhere. You can also order on Mad Cave's website, madcavestudios.com, because they have. Sometimes they have like special edition things and all that stuff too. So you can pre-order on there too. If you don't have a local comic book shop, you can go to. Sometimes going straight to the source is a good place to do it as well. And then obviously there'll be digital copies and things like that too if you can't get the print copy. But I recommend buying it. All that matters is the fact that I said you should buy it. So if that's an endorsement, it's got the green check on it saying I think you should buy it. I think it's a fun, exciting story. It's gruesome. It's horror filled. It's based on. facts with some fairy tale elements into it, and I think it's gonna be fun for people to read if you're into horror comic books, if that's your thing. And I think both of you guys killed it, so I think that's a big thing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's one of those ones that I was actually read the first issue like on Saturday night of the original date for us to record this. And it was like one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I read this issue. I get to talk to you guys on Monday. And then we had to postpone because my kid being sick. And it's usually I read a comic book that I'm really into. And then like, I'm like, maybe I'll get those guys on at some point on the podcast. It was like, it worked out so well, but then I had to delay it. I'm like, God damn it. But yeah, it was worth the wait to talk to you guys. So I really appreciate you two coming on and chatting your comic and so much more. We'll have to get you guys back on at some point in the future. But
Absolutely.
Until then, April 19th, guys.
Yeah, go to it. Hey,
thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good to see you.